Thank you for this time and moment. Thank you for the opportunity to be here today. Thank you for the life. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for the scripture, for the Holy Spirit, for Jesus Christ, for his death and resurrection. Thank you for everything that you are continuing blessing us with your provisions and teaching and understanding to continue growing here internally, mind, heart, as a church, so that way we can continue being solid and stronger every day, so we can continue working and making the commission that you put in our hearts. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask you this time, God, to continue blessing your scripture, and be you speaking to the church. Be you talking to the church. It's not me, it's not my heart or my mind. Please be you talking, be you ministering. Holy Spirit, be touching you, the hearts and the mind of everyone here, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So are we ready? Okay. So today I'm going to do something special. I'm going to preach in Spanish. Are you guys ready? Yeah. Abran la Biblia. Huh? Next week? Okay. Abran sus Biblias. Open the Bibles. And let's go to the scripture. Because today we're going to continue talking about becoming a disciple. We're going to continue talking about that series, the series of how to be more a disciple instead of just a crowd or a multitude. So we like to continue learning more about it because that will, I believe, and I have the trust from God that that's going to solidify our hearts, our mind as a church also, so we can continue going outreach and get more disciples. The scripture says in Matthew 28:16, just to support this series, Matthew 28:16, the Bible says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Again, please keep that in mind. This is after the resurrection. But some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, because I defeat the death. In other words, I defeat everything and now I have all the authority. I have all the power. Therefore, now when we understand that, something that is before that, therefore, is that we understand that we and Jesus Christ, what he did for us, it was to save us. And now that we understand in that, therefore, go. Otherwise, if we're not understanding that, it's kind of impossible to go outreach because we don't have the mindset prepared to go and make disciples. Pay attention, because he's saying make disciples. He's not saying go and just find whatever or do whatever. He's being specific. I truly believe that the Bible is really specific. And if God let that word be in there, specific, saying make disciples to all nations, it's with a purpose. It have a reason. It's not just anything. It's to make disciples. The other day, like more than a week ago, and that's fine, I'm going to share this from my heart, and it happened every year, you know that. When you look around how we perform in 2023, how we perform in 2024, and you see, at least for the point of view of a church, you will see 3,000 people raise their hands. 3,000 people were saved. 3,000 people were, and you say, okay, that's nice and beautiful. How or how many of them are disciples? I think that's the challenge question. Are they still in the church? Are they being baptized, like the scripture says after that, when it says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit? and teaching them to obey, obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So I'm saying this with all respect. I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm just saying, according to Scripture, how many of those thousands of people are disciples? Are we really disciple them? Are we really doing the job that we're supposed to do? Because again, when we understand this, therefore we can go and make them disciples, we can baptize in them, but then it says the Scripture, teach them to obey what I command you, which is Jesus Christ talking, not me. And what is the benefit of all that? At the end he say, and surely I will be with you. Simple. Now we can just route up and then just go home. And just keep that scripture in our hearts and mind and trying to understand it. Because we saw Jesus Christ, these people, these disciples, they saw Jesus Christ. They saw the ministry. Jesus Christ didn't just go straight to the ministry. You guys know that it was around 30 years old when Jesus Christ started his ministry. What happened between those 30 years? It was a development. He was growing. And then after that, he was just going by the book and say, okay, now I have to go and be baptized. 30 years old. And that reminds me as a testimony from 2005 when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. People were prophesying over me. John, you're going to be a pastor. You're going to be a pastor. You're going to be a pastor. That's going to be tough. And I know. But when you accept that calling from Jesus Christ, if you have it, if God put that on you, you feel that passion. And you're going to do it. You're going to talk about it. You're going to feel that because you have that passion. God put it in you. Now, I didn't just went straight, boom, pastor. It was a development, a process from 2005 until today. I still. And I didn't, went and tried to provoke that. You know, I was just waiting for God to continue developing me through the experiences to make sure I can be in that place that he want me to be so that way I can lead or be in the place that he want me to be. So what I'm trying to say is that we cannot just go. We need to be prepared. We need to solidify our hearts, mind, our congregation, church, community, believers, so that way we can go and we can make disciples. Because making disciples is not the same thing of, again, just prophesying salvation and that's it. See you. We have to do a process of developing that discipleship in that person. So that way he can be in more relationship with Jesus Christ. Now that he's a disciple, let's go together, hand to hand. Let's go and make more disciples. And I believe that's what God or Jesus Christ was talking in this Matthew 28, 16 through 20. He was explaining those details. Now, what is a disciple? Because the word disciple is coming from one word, which is discipline. And the word discipline, it means the practice of training people to obey rules or a code of behavior. Now, I like the second one. Because it says, using punishment to correct disobedience. We use that one. I'm disciplining my child. Or I discipline this and that because of disobedience. Now, if we took we take this as this definition and put it inside of us spiritually, and we say, well, I'm going to punish the disobedience that I have in my heart and in my mind. That means discipline. Because I'm disciplining myself to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Let's go through the scripture. 2 Corinthians 10, 3. The Bible says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ's punishment. See the next one. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. Discipleship. Discipleship. Discipline. Discipline my thoughts. Discipline myself to be in obedience to Jesus Christ. That will help us to continue developing that inside of us, to get more strong and more solid in this faith, and help us to be a disciple and go to make disciples. How you can go and make disciples if you are not a disciple? Remember, the multitude, the crowd, it was just going through to find something that they need. That's fine. Jesus Christ will provide that. But then after that, what happened? Bar was sharing with us. It was like 120, right? That they were just over there when Jesus Christ was punished, crucified. But it was thousands before. It was thousands and thousands receiving miracles and everything like that. It was just based on emotion. It was just based on what they need, but not a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's why we learn in the scripture that Jesus Christ was talking to the disciples and say, okay, go and supply the miracles to those in need. When he say, go and knock the doors, because I'm here to save what was lost. Now in this point, in Matthew, he already died and raised from the death. And now he's saying to the disciples, now go and make these disciples. And when we see the primitive church, okay, thank you. I'm looking the confirmation from my teacher. The primitive church in Acts, in the book of Acts. Primitive, yeah, okay. So in the book of Acts, when he's talking about that church, you can see that Jesus Christ explained to the church and say, you have to wait for the Holy Spirit. Why? Because we cannot just do this by our own understanding, our own knowledge, our own hearts, our own things. We need to receive the power of the Holy Spirit to be an empowered church. We have to be empowered by the Spirit. The Spirit of God will help us and support us to then go and make disciples. When they received that, what they did, they went and got disciples, and then the miracles followed them. That's it. Simple. But today, I'm not here to talk about that. Today, I want to talk about the mind. Because to be a disciple, we have to change our mind. We have to have the mind of Christ. And I just want to go through some scriptures related to that. So my belief is that these scriptures are going to help us to continue growing more and more in this relationship. So in order to do that, I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I want to start from verse 4. My message and my preaching. This is Paul talking or writing. Were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. We do not, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age, of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom and mystery that has been hidden, and that God destined for our glory before time began. Now, none of the rulers of this age understood it. For if they had, they will not have crucified the Lord of glory. Wait a second. If the Lord of glory will not die, where will we be? Right? He's supposed to die and then crucify, raised from the dead. Now we believers in that. Sin's gone. Good. But what Paul is saying over here, he say, if these people understand the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God, the mind of God, they will not do that. Why? And that's the purpose. Because we have the human wisdom, the mindset of humanity. When we have the mind of a human just thinking about earth stuff, there's no communication with God. There's no relationship with God. There's no relationship with Jesus Christ. That means we are making the decisions based on our own desires. That means He's not taking control of our life. That means we are just doing or just walking over here without any purpose and reason. Because the main purpose of reason of life is on Him, is in Him, is from Him. So if these people will know the wisdom of God, they will not do that. So they didn't know that wisdom. Because the purpose of that, it was to Jesus Christ die for us so that way you and I, we can be saved. Continuation. Number 9 says, however, as it is written, what no eyes has seen, what no ears has heard, and what no human minds has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love Him, these are the things God has revealed to us by the Spirit, or His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with the Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Do you have the mind of Christ? That's a question that we need to ask ourselves. Because here, at the beginning of the scripture, we can see 5 things that I want to share really quick with you guys about having the mind of Christ in our life to be a disciple. Removing all that human mind, according to what Paul was describing over here. We need to change that. We have that control. We have that power to change that. But always, the first thing is going to be accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior. And then the Holy Spirit will help us and support us to change our mind and our hearts. And that means He, God, will reveal everything that you need to know, the wisdom that you need to know, so you will become a disciple. So those first things, the 5 things that I want to share with you guys, number 1, it is through verse 5 and 6, is the human wisdom. Human wisdom is something that in the scripture Paul was trying to contrast with the spiritual wisdom. The human wisdom is just limited to here. It's limited to the earth stuff or things. But the spiritual wisdom is the one that God wants you to me have, so that way we can walk in His will. The scripture says, let's go to Romans 11. Romans 11, 33 says, oh, the depth of the riches, of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. It's really interesting what Paul is doing here, because this scripture in 1 Corinthians 2 and also Romans 11, 35 and 34, he's quoting something from the prophets. And in order to understand why he's talking about that, we have to go over there really quick and share why Isaiah and Jeremiah were talking about that over there. So let's go really quick to Isaiah. Let's go to Isaiah 40. Let's go to Isaiah 40, and we're going to the verse. Specifically, it's going to be 13, but I want to start from 15. Surely the nations are like a drop in a bucket. They are regarded as dust on the scales. He weights the islands as though they were fine dust. Lebanon is not sufficient for altar fires, nor its animals enough for burnt offerings. Before him, all the nations are as nothing. They are regarded by him as worthless and less than nothing. With whom then I will compare God? To what image will you liken him? As for an idol, a metal worker casts it, and a goldsmith overlays it with gold and fashions silver chains for it. Now, this is just for explanation of what I want to say in the specific verse of 13, when it says, who can fathom the Spirit of the Lord? Or instruct the Lord as his counselor? Because what Isaiah was sharing with the people of the of Israel, he was sharing over there saying, God have the control of everything. His wisdom is powerful. There's no one else that teach God. So to you and me, in order to be a disciple, we have to have a teacher. In this case, it's Jesus Christ. And that teacher's putting us all the teaching, all the commandments that we need to follow, and then we will follow that and obey through that, so that way we are disciples. Who teach God? Who's his counselor? There's no one. He's powerful. He's the only one providing that. He's the source of that. So what Isaiah was sharing to them is like, hey, don't think like there's another God over him. There's nothing else or anyone else over him that provide knowledge to God. God is the pure knowledge that he's putting and trespassing that to you guys. That's the one that you need to look for. Now think about the other gods. Who are they are following? Or prophets? Who are they following? They have other teachers. God does not have a teacher or a counselor. So that's the only one and powerful. That's a conviction that we should have in our hearts and say, okay, let me follow my God, because that's the only one. There's no one else, anything else over him or beside him. Jeremiah, let's go to Jeremiah. In Jeremiah, it's the same thing. Jeremiah shared pretty much the same concept, and we're going through chapter 23 in Jeremiah, and we're going through verse 16. 23:16. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Do not listen to what the prophets are prophesying to you. They fill you with false hopes. Careful. This is what the Lord Almighty says. And then 17 says, or sorry, the continuation says, they speak visions from their own minds, from their own desires. Not from the mouth of the Lord. The pure knowledge from where everything comes from. God. Not the prophets that from our own understanding, they're just supplying the need of the person, saying, everything will be fine. God will heal you. Did God really say that? That's what I feel, and I think it's correct because it sounds good, it's polite, it's merciful, but it is really what God says or no? They keep saying to those who despise me, the Lord says, you will have peace. And to all who follow the stubbornness of their hearts, they say, no harm will come to you. But which of them has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see or to hear his word, who has listened and heard his word? I don't know for you, but for me, it's a little bit difficult to manage that. Again, you, me also. I listen to a lot of other preachers also, prophets, people. And that's why we need to learn how to have the mind of Christ, because we will get to the point, we will understand and learn and know if it's really from God or not. Hallelujah. Second point, God's wisdom. We will see that through verse 7 in 1 Corinthians. When it says, no, we declare God's wisdom and mystery that has been hidden, and that God destined for our glory before time began. He's revealing that to us. We know what is the wisdom of God. We know what is our glory, Jesus Christ. He revealed that to us. We get that when we accept Jesus Christ, when we got Jesus Christ in our life. The third point, revealed by the Spirit. We will see these in the verse 10 through 12. It says, these are the things God has revealed to us by the Spirit. By his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person thoughts except their own spirit? So your own spirit knows what's going on in your head. What Paul is saying over here is that your spirit, the spirit that you have inside of you, knows what's going on in your mind. Know your thoughts. So the same concept is going to be for God, he say. He said the Spirit of God knows what is in God's mind. In his heart. So in order to know what he has in his heart, so that way you can obey and become a disciple and also be in discipline with his teaching, I need the Spirit. He's the one that knows, not me. So we need the Holy Spirit. We need it in our life. We need to be an empowered church, an empowered person through the Holy Spirit. So we know what is in that heart and mind of God. The fourth point that I want to share is can't understand without the Spirit. We will not understand anything. This, we can see it in verse 14. And it says, the person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. That's the only thing. If you don't want to have the mind of Christ, then you will have the mind of humanity or human mind. What will be the end of that foolishness? We will not understand anything. The real purpose of our life, we will not understand it. The real purpose of God in our life, we will not understand it. So we need the Holy Spirit. And that's the last point that I want to share with you guys today. Number 5, discernment. And that's what Jeremiah, Isaiah was trying to share with the people of God, Israelites. They say, you need discernment. You need to understand that. The discernment will open your eyes. The discernment will give you the vision that you need so that way you can walk and obey and become the disciple that God wants us to be. So in order to have that mind of Christ, we need those things and understand those things in our life. Pay attention to what Paul is saying over here in verse 5. He says, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. So he's saying, like, I'm not coming over here to persuade you with words nicely from Greek and Hebrew. I'm not trying to do that. Because what I need that you understand is that it's going to be through the Holy Spirit. The power of the Spirit is going to change that. Now pay attention. See what Paul is saying. He say, we do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature. So in other words, he's saying, I cannot talk really deep. I cannot maybe talk too much, deep enough on the knowledge of God, because you guys, and I'm not talking this church, I'm talking Paul, talking to the Corinthians, don't have that understanding yet. You're not in that place. You may be still a baby that needs milk, according to Scripture. I cannot give you the solid food. When I give you the solid food, that means you understand. You have the empowered spirit leading you, leading your heart, leading your mind, so that way you can get that mind of Christ, and that way you can be a disciple. According to Paul, he's saying, we do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age, of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. Again, it can sound really beautiful. It can sound really nice. Talking about definitions and what does this mean and whatever. But if it doesn't have the support of the Spirit over there, touching the heart, touching the mind, changing that, transforming you for His glory. I want to close with these scriptures. Beautiful. Ephesians 4:20. That, however, is not the way of life you learn. When you heard about Christ and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in attitude, where? On your minds. And put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holy. Let's just change. Remember Romans 11, quoting Isaiah, Jeremiah. There's no one teaching God. God is the source. Romans 1 through 11, you can see the explanation of what God is doing or He did in our life through Jesus Christ. Mercy. Romans 12. After that, then Paul says, once again, therefore, there's something leading that, before that. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, chapter 1 through 11. You already, I wrote here all the mercy of God, 1 through 11. Everything is here. To offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship, style of life. You guys know the Old Testament, how it was the sacrifice presented. An animal, chopped or cut it. So Paul is saying, now that you understand the mercy of God, therefore, present your body, yourself, your heart, your mind as a living sacrifice every day. As a living sacrifice every day. And then he says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. He's telling you how. But be transformed by renewing of your mind. So in order to be transformed, your mind to be transformed, you need to renew it. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Otherwise, you will not understand the will of God, according to the Scripture. Because we have human minds. But in order to have Christ's mind in us, then we will understand God's purpose and will in our life. Disciples. Now go and make more disciples. Praise God. Hallelujah for His word, for His scripture, for everything that He's doing in our life. I don't want to get to the point that the scripture says in Matthew 7, and I know this one is painful, but it is what is written over there. Matthew 7, 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father. How you will know the will of your Father if you're not renewing your mind? So that way you can obey to the teaching and everything that He already says. So that way you can be the disciple. But only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, human mentality. Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Jeremiah, remember. Everything will be fine. The Lord says, Lord, maybe didn't say that. Be careful. And in your name we drive out demons. And in your name perform many miracles. Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers. I prefer to have the relationship with Jesus Christ. Have that solid discipleship in my heart, in my mind. Become a church that is really solid, that nothing will move you, move us to anything. That we will help each other, that we will conquer everything. That's disciple. That way when any problems comes, we will handle it all together and we will continue. Now we're ready. Let's go and make the same disciples out there and help them and support them. Join us. Let's continue to bring more and more as a community of Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your scripture. Thank you for your word. Thank you for everything that you are doing. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for this time and opportunity. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for everything. We bless this church. We bless everyone here today. We bless who cannot make it or couldn't make it today. We bless them to the distance. We send your word in the name of Jesus Christ. We bless them with healing, provision, protection. That's what we want to them. But we always ask you, God, to do your will. Because your will is perfect, and we will understand it now that we know that Jesus Christ is our Savior and that we renew our mind to be transformed in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for this time and moment. We praise you and we worship you. Amen. Church.